Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. It's Bill and Alan. That'd be me and him. Dennis is like he's getting fried, like electrically fried. He has like an electrical issue, so I'm thinking he's getting fried, not like fried. Right. Anyway, so we have Eric and Julie with us tonight, who have been on a KISS cruise recently. You've been on, how many cruises have you guys been on?
We're counting both cruises separately that we just did the both weeks.
Well, you so should. You
those
paid for
were
them
my,
twice.
my fifth and my sixth KISS cruise.
And my fourth and my fifth KISS cruise.
Okay.
So he's on one more than me. He was on six. I was on five. The last
I was on one.
Alan, I think I remember meeting you on.
Yeah, we met on KISS Cruise 9.
That's what I thought. I was thinking about that earlier today. Yeah, I remember that. Like, I think we were on the pool deck when we first met each other. Yeah.
We're all running around trying to get those drink cups early in the day before they all sold out.
Yeah.
I do have a drink cup, though. You brought me a drink cup. I have that. I remember that. Which is nice.
We should be
nice
using the drink cup.
Yeah, from what I hear, they stock them much better than they used to. I didn't get on until KISS Cruise 7, but I have heard stories of people waiting in line and them running out of cups. So it seems like they have honed
in. Yeah, that was like 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can find them throughout the day now. Now we did screw up a little bit. We totally didn't think about getting cups for the second week. We just it didn't occur to us to do that until after the fact, because they had different dates for, you know, each cruise. So we didn't get any, but we got enough swag. I don't think we're that concerned about it.
No. You're not swagless.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of KISS items. I mean, anyway, right? I mean, you got like, there's a Paul painting behind you. There's a couple other, I mean, you guys are not short on the KISS gear.
we are not broadcasting with you guys from our KISS Cave bunker. We're on the first floor level, but yeah, we do have a KISS Cave in the basement that's coming along. We haven't been down there to do much with it in a while, but there's lots of goodies down there. Yeah.
So that picture of Paul right there, did you get that from the cruise?
No, not this cruise.
Yeah, it's from a cruise, 2017, my first KISS cruise. I'm losing track. Yeah, that's right. The first cruise I was on was KISS Cruise 7, and did get that one from Paul. Yeah.
We did get a painting from Paul this KISS cruise, but we haven't gotten it yet. So we will, I guess, Wentworth Gallery will notify us when we can either come get it or they'll bring it here. And we can hang that one too. So excited.
They're not going to deliver it with that KISS 2020 goodbye video, are they?
Oh
gosh. Have you seen there's a bootleg vinyl out for that now?
Oh really? No, I haven't seen that.
There's a bootleg vinyl for that Dubai show, which I, you know, truth be told, you guys, and Julie will vouch for this, I was never interested in that show. We didn't order the pay-per-view. For some reason, I don't know, we were pretty early in COVID, I guess, still that year, right? I mean, it was the end of the year. I just thought the whole idea of them doing this big show for nobody there, people on balconies, an empty pool. I've watched one clip of a YouTube footage of them doing one song, and it's just so bizarre. I never got into it. I feel badly for people who lost a lot of money, because a lot of people did.
I watched it out of curiosity. I mean,
I watched
the whole thing out of curiosity because I, you know, but it must have been difficult for them to do without an audience there, really, too. You know,
they got paid well. So
we were basically playing to a swimming pool with a few people and then people on balconies, from what I understand. But
yeah,
it would have been thrilling to be there, even though you couldn't be up close to KISS.
Did you guys buy any of the?
I watched it just because Dennis paid for the pay-per-view and he invited me over.
Okay.
Otherwise I wouldn't have bothered.
It was even before the new year, wasn't it? Like, what were they showing?
It was in the morning. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning or 11, something like that.
Yeah. So it happened on New Year's Eve, their time, which was, you know, well ahead of when we had New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it and had some friends over, and we just had like a brunch kind of thing just for fun. And
cool.
We watched it, and, you know, it was what it was. I would never, I mean, I didn't decide to do it till like 2 days before, because I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm not going to watch a video. And I'm like, okay, it's like $30. What else am I going to do?
Now you're starting to sound like Dennis. I'm never going to
do that. I know. Like, so that's what happened.
Unless they come to town.
Yeah. So I thought, I mean, I just did it because of that. And then, so I was trying to figure out, though, do I get to count that one in my live? In my live count?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right. You were there. You paid for it, therefore you count it.
Right. Good.
That's the way I see it. I paid.
If anybody asked me, I'll say, Julie said I could count it.
Yeah, I think you can. You were there. You were in the audience.
Sure, why not?
Watching the live feed. Yes. You were there.
We do know people who went over there that are cruisers, and I wouldn't. I mean, I've got enough manners to not ask what they paid to do that, but that couldn't have been cheap coin to go all the way over to Dubai for that.
Oh, no. it was something like $12,000 for those.
Oh, the hotel.
I mean, not including the flight. I think it was something like $12,000 just for the hotel and the package where you got to meet with Kiss, distancing, and all that stuff.
They had meat. They were meeting with people.
I think they did have like they got to watch a warm up show.
That might have been about it.
A sound check type of show.
I don't think there were photo ops at that point or anything like that available. I really don't.
Interesting.
I bet they didn't get to meet him in the ladies' room.
That's a big no-no, probably.
Not even close.
If you set me up for one, I'm going to take it every time.
Every time.
But so, Julie and I were looking at Wentworth on the cruise, and we ended up the second week, she committed to both of the crystal ones. There's a Paul and a Gene one where Paul actually customizes them by placing the crystals in the Kiss logo in different spots for each painting. So no two are exactly alike. So kind of a cool feature with those two pieces. So she bought the Paul one with the promise that the rate they gave her, they would give her that for the Gene one when she committed to getting that one too. So those would be really cool pieces. Where we're going to put them, no idea. But
in the dining room. And we've become friends with Tom from Wentworth Gallery, and we just, you know, he's such a sweet guy, such a gentleman, and
he took care of her.
He really did. He really was good to us. So I feel like, you know, we kind of have a special bond with him. We've seen him on other cruises. Even he was on the Monsters of Rock cruise, and we saw him on there, and we were like, hey, we remember you from the Kiss cruise. So it's kind of good to kind of see people, you know, that you don't expect to see. I mean, of course, why wouldn't Wentworth be on that ship too,
right? And that's something we wouldn't mind touching on at some point later on in our discussion too, is meeting the people that work the boat and whatever those capacities are. Yeah. So, you know, it's helpful.
We try to meet, you know, all of the staff, that sort of thing.
So what I'll just start off with kind of asking, what I know that you guys are huge Kiss fans, and I get that piece, but what was the drive to do the cruise? Was it just because it was something different, something that had not happened? What was your deciding thing to do it,
to do this year's cruise or the Kiss cruise in general?
Just in general, or even this year's. I mean, you've been going year after year. I mean, you've been a few.
It's
so
different for him than me, because when he was on his first cruise, we didn't even know each other. So he was on his first cruise as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I went with my now ex-wife and my two daughters, who joined us for week two this year. But I don't know how much time you want to have as far as our personal histories goes, but just long story short, I got into the band later in life. I got bit by the bug 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I saw the reunion show in 96 as just a casual fan. Gene scared me as a little kid in the 70s. I was definitely terrified of Gene Simmons. I told him that personally. Now I have bled for the man with his name on my, you know, on my arm, but, so yeah, it took me a long time to really come around to what I'd been missing. Once I realized 8 years ago what I was missing, It was full steam ahead. I wanted to do anything I could that was KISS related. I was, you know, meeting people that were KISS fans, going to the expos and concerts. And I had a neighbor across the street. I'm from Ohio originally, who was a KISS fan. And they went on the cruises before I was even really in. So I would hear about them. So I knew about those through my buddy. And he's been on all the cruises, by the way. Kind of a quiet guy. So he doesn't, I think we've met more people on the cruises than he has, because he's kind of reserved. But so 2017, I convinced my now ex that, yeah, we need to do this. And we were going through some things as a family at the time. And I think it was something that we all needed, kind of crazy and different and fun. And once I got on, oh my gosh, Alan and Bill, I was in my glory. I mean, I kept disappearing in circles, talking to people, you know, sharing my story and hearing their stories. And it was just such a good time. You know, still have friends I met on that very first cruise in 2017. So yeah, that's my cruise story beginning, I guess, basically. And Julie's is a little different than mine.
Yeah. I became a fan when I was 12. My parents got us the Destroyer album for Christmas. And I remember when we opened up that album, I was like, I grabbed it and I was like, that's mine, you know, because I had a sister who was a year older and we kind of had to share the albums. And I was like, this one's mine. So.
And prior, she had never heard or seen KISS until that album.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, not that I can remember everything exactly, but I don't remember being a KISS fan before I had that album in my hands. And so I instantly, you know, Detroit Rock City would have to be my first KISS song I ever heard. And that's my favorite song to this day. But the reason I went on the cruise, I knew they were happening, but, you know, I too got married, had three kids, one who is profoundly disabled. And so, you know, your life takes turns where you can't just go and listen to live music and do whatever you want to do. Life gets in the way. I had a full-time government job, you know, and trying to raise a family. And then in 2013, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So fast forward 5 years, and in 2018, I found myself 5 years cancer free. And at this celebration event, I was like, I never met Paul Stanley, and I want to meet Paul Stanley. Now that I lived through breast cancer and I've lived through all of the last 5 years, which included my husband leaving me, I was like, I want to go on that KISS cruise. So I, at the Celebration of Life event, where they celebrate all the 5 year cancer survivors, because mm-hmm. at 5 years you're considered cancer free. Mm-hmm. I was on my computer and I literally got on the KISS Cruisers Shipmates Forever site and started looking for a cabin because the cruise was sold out. And this would be KISS Cruise 8. And I found a person, a cabin mate. And I tell you, there were like 10 other people who she was screening to get this one spot in her cabin. But when she heard that, you know, I had a breast cancer and a disabled daughter and I had, you know, I was single and my husband left, and she was like, oh my God, I got to choose you. You've been through a ton of stuff. So thank God she chose me, because on the ship, I don't know about Eric, but your first cruise, when you get on that ship, it's like a kid at Disneyland. It's overwhelmingly like, oh my God, this is really happening. And it's almost like surreal. How can I be in this position here when I've only dreamed of ever being in an arena and just happy to share the airspace with KISS? And now I'm on a ship and I'm going to see them, from a distance that I've never seen them before. And then I was chosen to paint with Paul on stage. So that in my mind was surreal. I mean, I was going to actually be standing with Paul Stanley, and it actually freaked me out. I was almost like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, so I got through it, but, you know, nervous the whole time. But man, it's just a great experience when you get on the ship and you're just immersed by KISS Cruisers, and it's one big family. it's one big family. At that point, you forget about all your cares.
Yeah. You know, when you go to a show in an arena, yeah, you could say you're kind of in that same era too, but this is just whole other level. Obviously, it's way less people. And these are people who are obviously very, very committed overall. Yeah, you might have the occasional spouse that might come for the vacation. They're not necessarily really a Kiss fan. And I've met those people. It's a cruise, warm weather. Why wouldn't I go? I don't have to go watch the band or whatever. But by and large, these are people who are serious, serious Kiss fans. And yeah. So to be in that air with a couple thousand people, yeah, it's special.
And they play Kiss 24/7. At the time, they used to play it over all of the intercoms. Just all the music that's piped in is Kiss 24/7. And on TV, they were playing, you know, the CDs.
Yes, we didn't turn the TV.
We didn't turn the TV this time. Year, but so. I remember on my first cruise, every time we did turn on the TV, it was nothing but Kiss videos playing. So,
A little observation we noticed this year, for the first time, it wasn't just Kiss music only that they were piping in. They were piping in other artists who were on the boat too, which
that's nice. That's, you know, good.
Kind of cool. It honors those people too. We're like, yeah, we're a part of this thing too. But I admittedly, I kind of missed the Kiss music. I remember, again, you guys, because I'm not a lifelong fan. It's been 8 years. There were a couple songs I heard on Kiss Cruise 7 for the first time where I was like, I love that song. What comes to mind is Dreamin' off Psycho Circus. It's a song I didn't know. And I heard that walking in the hallway. I remember I just stopped at one point, like, wow, I really like this. I need to look into what that song is. And so probably my favorite song off Psycho Circus now. So, you know, there's that piece of it. But yeah, it was cool that they honored the other artists by, you'd hear Lita Ford mm-hmm. being played and whoever else. So
I heard a Huey Lewis song, though. He was not on the ship.
Yeah, that was.
So I was like, are they playing Huey Lewis for real?
Yeah, we were on the pool deck first day before we even left the port, and Huey Lewis was being piped in.
I was like, okay.
And that's okay.
All right. Well,
we're on the 80s cruise, and we didn't know it.
Yeah, I guess.
Could be. So, go ahead, Alan.
I know that you guys, of course, you know, we were on that one cruise together in 2019. So you guys have cruised out of Florida and you've cruised out of California. What's the difference? Did you guys observe any differences between the cruises in the different places? And how did the, what's the word I'm looking for? The excitement in the air, was it different at the different locations?
Big, huge difference for us. First of all, it's a much longer flight. But second of all,
we live in Maryland, by the way. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. We're about 30 minutes from Baltimore, so we're basically the East Coast.
And, you know, we got there, and usually you'll see some Kiss cruisers in the airport when you land. And before, Cruise Fest was happening before the second week of the cruise. We went on both. So there was no Cruise Fest happening
for us
because we were already on the ship when Cruise Fest was happening prior to the second week. So I missed not going to Cruise Fest.
The buildup of the cruise with that gathering.
It's just like
so there was no Cruise Fest for the first week?
No.
I didn't realize that.
We did stay at the hotel, though, that Cruise Fest was going to be the host hotel for Cruise Fest. And we did meet up with some Kiss cruisers there. It was
the week one people.
Yeah. It was a DoubleTree in San Pedro. So, you know, we did meet up with some people there, but it wasn't the same not going to Cruise Fest because kind of Cruise Fest, you can kind of get. You know, it's like a pep rally for the cruise, you know, it's like everybody's so excited for the cruise, but yet this awesome stuff is going on at Cruise Fest. So we did totally miss that. But we were committed to going on both cruises just because I guess it was fear of missing out.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's this, you know, apprehension of what if this is the last, you know, they of course announced on the boat. A bit surprising to me that they are going to do one in January 2024, but our thinking going in was, okay, this could be it. So if we can make it work, you know, Julie's retired and I have a job where, you know, if there's some flexibility to let me get away, maybe we should commit to doing it because this could be the last, you know, cruise hurrah. And we didn't, we had that FOMO thing. We don't want to miss some stuff. So yeah, we committed to both.
And it was much cooler in Los Angeles. I think they were having a little bit cooler
weather
temperatures than they're usually having. But we just noticed that even sailing down to Cabo and Ensenada, it was cool on the ship. It was actually cold. And I know that we've had windy days on the ship before, but for the most part, it's not been cold. And I mean, you needed jackets on that pool deck most of the day.
Yeah.
If you were on the pool deck, you know, people were dressing or brought clothes for Caribbean weather. It was much colder, much colder.
There were definitely like three nights I can think of for sure where by 5 o'clock, if you were out on the pool deck, you probably want to have a jacket on. You don't want to miss stuff and go back to your room and grab a jacket. So you might want to just grab your jacket with you because it definitely was cooling down quick. And the Pacific Ocean is that we know it's a bigger body of water. It is a colder body of water.
Yeah.
And boy, did we feel that compared to long story short, we missed Miami. I'm glad we did the LA. I've never been to LA. I've never been to California in general. So to be able to see the rainbow and see the Kiss Star, we're glad we got to have that experience because don't know if we'll ever go back. I mean, who knows? We still want to see the whiskey, but in general, yeah, we missed the vibe and we missed the weather of Miami. You know, you start seeing that Miami landscape and the palm trees, and you know, you just kind of get those juices and the adrenaline flowing for the cruise. And you know, and interesting too. Now this is neither here nor there, but it was very union heavy at the port, and there were a lot of issues with the Wentworth people and with six man
getting the t-shirts, the merch that was going to be sold
on the ship
onto the ship, because they weren't allowed to touch anything because they would have been fined for picking up anything and helping out union workers or taking away work from a union person. So there were heavy fines. I heard
we were late leaving port because of union holdup stuff. And this isn't to be anti-union and bashing.
No, just stating, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that six man is used to just pitching in, helping get the job done when stuff has to be loaded onto the ship. And this time they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think pretty much everything got loaded, but you know, it was at the end, I think scrambling to find where everything was. Merch wasn't able to be put out and delivered when it was supposed to be. So there were some issues, you know, and learning for six man too.
And while we can't speak for Norwegian and six man, I can only imagine that now that they've done the LA thing, I don't know if it would be as desirable to go back there again.
Well, we were told, and the announcement was made actually, that Kiss Cruise 12 would be leaving from Miami. So I think that Six Man, you know, and Kiss also feel like it was better. I think that they heard a lot of, you know, feedback from the cruisers that it was much better. Everything was kind of more seamless leaving from Miami. So they did announce that the next cruise would be going from Miami, which makes me happy, you know.
In general, was it more expensive out of LA than it was out of Miami? I mean, not necessarily for the cruise specifically, but the expenses before you get on. And I mean, because I've been to LA before and it's ridiculous. I mean, it's Uber, like,
oh yeah.
The flight was expensive.
Yeah. No, we did stay near the strip. Actually, we stayed on the strip pretty much, didn't we?
When we got home from the cruise.
Yeah. The 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before the cruise, we stayed in San Pedro. I mean, that hotel wasn't too bad, but you know, we did have to pay more for Ubers. It wasn't like,
well, yeah, there was a Kiss tribute band that actually played at Cruise Fest, they were playing at the Hard Rock on Hollywood Boulevard that night. We got in. We didn't sleep at all before we left. We had every intention of packing and being to bed at a decent time. We stayed up all night and showered and got the airport like at 4 o'clock in the morning. So by the time we got to LA and had to wait for our room for hours, we did lunch with some people, then we just crashed. But I checked into an Uber to go out to the Hard Rock see this band. It would have been like $100 you know, one way. So
yeah,
you know, I was looking at this. She was crashed on the bed, and that was a pretty easy decision to say, we're gonna get enough for our Kiss fix the next 10 days. We're not spending $200 you know, to go see a tribute band, and then drinks maybe. And so,
yeah, oh, yeah.
we bag those planes. But yes, yes, specifically, we definitely spoke a few times about how this would have been way cheaper if we were in Miami. And Miami's not a cheap place. We know that. But compared to L.A., whew,
yeah.
Yeah,
I know that when I was out there, it was you hear about that. And I have a friend of mine that lives out there. He lives right in LA. And, you know, he talks about it all the time. And I'm like, and he tells me about, you know, we talk about gas, we talk about bread, we talk about just different things on occasion. It's like, dude, I don't know how you do it.
The
gas prices are ridiculous. $7-$8. You know, I mean, we're bitching and raising hell about five.
We saw almost $7 in, you know, Beverly Hills area. It was definitely six something, but you drive a mile or two down the street to a neighborhood that's not Beverly Hills and you know, it's a whole dollar cheaper. So there's, you know, the big, but I can't imagine paying that all the time. Of course, I think 75% of the cars out there are Teslas, so they don't have to worry about it. But for the people that still put gasoline in their car, you know, it's pretty expensive. So no wonder the Ubers are expensive. They're just passing on that bill to us. That's all.
Sure. Yep, for sure. So what was your, the two cruises, how can you talk a little bit about the difference between the two? You know, band wise, I do pay attention. I like it when people post videos. I get to live vicariously through them and I can pull out the stuff that I really don't care to see. And I can, which is nice.
I have I filled up the drive on my phone and I have a 256 gig phone. So I filled it up with videos from both cruises. I had to buy iCloud storage in the middle of the cruise so I could continue to, because I just videotape everything. And I mainly do it so that I can go back, because while I'm there, I'm not really, I mean, people say, oh, why aren't you just enjoying it? Trust me, I'm enjoying it. I'm not even looking through the lens of the camera. I'm holding the camera and, you know, enjoying it myself. I just am in this daze of not believing where I'm at. Usually when I'm taping these things, that I want to go back and enjoy it again. So, I'll post lots of stuff.
Yeah. Well, week one was the cruise that got added, you know, a little later on, of course. So it was not sold out. I don't know the official number in terms of capacity.
Somewhere like maybe half many people.
It felt kind of similar to last year's cruise when a lot of the folks from overseas couldn't get into the country with the shutdown still. So, you know, there were less people on. We had a good time. I've never stood so close at the Sail Away show. Julie likes being down on the rail, being close, being, you know, packed in there, and I can't stand it. I need to be able to move. And at some point, Gene's telling us to, you know, raise your hands, clap your hands. I'm like, I can't move my arms. I'm boxed in here. So, but I hung in there for the Sail Away for, you know, the first week to be with Julie. Second week, we'll get to that. But so that was cool. I think I did end up with a Paul Sail Away pick from that show that I found on the ground. So that was very, very cool. I think the set list probably for both shows was pretty similar as far as Sail Away goes. And the Sail Away is always, it's always a highlight for all of us. We're all gathering there. We know we're going to get that nugget or two of something deeper, you know, that we're not going to, and that's what the Kiss Cruise, that's obviously a big highlight for all of us, is hearing those songs that they're not going to play in front of 10, 15,000 people anywhere.
And for the most part, it's not scripted between the banter between the guys in Kiss. It's pretty much as unscripted as you can get with Kiss. So, you know, they just say whatever they're thinking. And, you know, I like that it's not all planned out and everything is not scripted. So you're getting actual personalities or whatever, you know, in the show. But yeah, we were up close, really, really far.
We were. And you guys, a highlight for us every year is Bruce and his guys, Todd and Zach and Brent. Zach was on week one.
Yeah, Zach. We missed Zach on week one.
He was.
Charles was standing in for Zach. Yeah.
He was with Corey Taylor over in Europe, I think, somewhere. So Zach couldn't be there.
But man, those guys, yeah, you know, they play the stuff Kiss won't play anymore, probably.
I would love to see them. I would love to see them just go do some, shows and,
you know,
go to Nashville, do some shows, go to New York, do a couple of shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they would be shocked as to how big of a joint they could fill.
We've actually posed that to Brent
at Creatures Fest.
Why don't you guys go on tour and do the stuff that Kiss doesn't
and what
do?
What do you think his response was? What would you guess? And, He Brent is a super great guy. We consider mm-hmm. him a friend. He really made some time to just come over and chat with us a couple times at the buffet area. Just sat down with us. But he professionally kind of poo-pooed the idea. Any of you guys want to take a stab at as to what his rationale was as to why they probably wouldn't do that?
No, I have no idea.
Hard to say.
He didn't think they would be able to grab enough of an audience outside of the niche Kiss fans.
Well, that's the same thing he told me on Cruise 9.
He said, you guys are here, but outside of the 3,000 people on these cruises, who else is going to go? And I was like, there are Kiss fans out there that would love to go and hear these songs, and you guys play them so well, and they haven't heard Kiss doing them in 30, 40 years, some of these songs, and you guys do them so well, to hear them live, and, you know, maybe you're not looking at Kiss, but from, you know, at least Bruce was in Kiss. I think I definitely think that they would be surprised at how many people, but
I don't think they want to. And here's what they're going to need to do. It would need to be like House of Blues places, right? It would need to be like your 500,000 seat places. I don't think they want to spend the money to travel to go out and play those small venues. That's my guess.
Well, they'd have to figure out a way to get a guarantee for them to make enough money to pay for it. I mean, I just read an article. I read an article the other day about Chrissy Hynde went to Europe. And this was just recently, the summer tour over there, and they lost money on the tour. And she was talking about the reason they lost money is because it was the first tour that they did that she wanted to stay in nice hotels, have nice cars to go to the venues and back and forth and stuff like that. And she said, and in the end, we did 20 shows and we lost a shit ton of money. Wow. She said, but I had a really good experience, different than what I've had before. But she said, the only way I can't make money that way. I can't make money doing it that way. I have to play smaller venues, you know, stay in shitty hotels, you know, or not, you know, not shitty hotels, but, you know, not 4-star hotels or 5-star hotels. But I think that I really do believe that there are, they could do 20 dates across the country. And if they just did 20 dates, I think they'd be shocked because
they did festivals, you know, there's a lot of,
yeah, they could do the M3 festival. They could do, they could do a couple of those things. And people would flock to it.
I do.
And for me personally, I watch all the videos on the, like I said, from the Kiss cruise that people post. I've seen Kiss 47 times. I get it. I like them. I say I'm not going to go, but I go because I just love going. That's just the bottom line. But I really want to see Bruce's band. I could give a shit if I get in to see the Kiss show, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the spectacle with Kiss. Yeah. It's obviously downplayed in terms of the cruise with the indoor show and the small theater. And
there's, of course, no pyro or anything like that.
Yeah, but for me, it's just more, I want to hear more of the rare stuff, and they're not good. Yeah. They just, even on the Kiss cruise, they don't do enough of it to spend that kind of money. But,
and 2 points to Bruce and his band. Number one, I was able to say this to Zach and Brent, Ed Todd. I tried to say it to Bruce, and Lisa was, someone stopped us to talk with his, one of Bruce's guys that works with him. But it was a very quick exchange. Lisa was ready to go. She was kind of giving Bruce the, so I know that look.
He gets that look too. Time to go.
Yeah. But I said to those guys, I said, every time you guys play, it takes me back to that magical night where Julie and I met on Kiss Cruise 8. And before I knew it, we were on the upper deck area watching Bruce that night. And every time they play, it takes me back to that magical first night where she and I met. And I wanted those guys to all know that.
And he knew every song to every word to every song they played. And I was just actually getting back into Kiss. And I was like, some of the songs, I remember the words, but I hadn't heard the songs in like 30 or 40 years.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is to kind of piggyback on that, I'm an original 70s Kiss guy. To me, that's where the magic is. I prefer those albums. The 80s stuff, I like a scattering of songs here and there, but I turned into the biggest fucking 80s Kiss fan when Bruce plays. I do.
Oh my God, yeah. Even if
like I'll bang bang you. Hell yeah. Yes.
Well, it's even true because they're doing the arrangements even just a little different. And not too far off the beaten path, but a little different to where it's got some uniqueness to it. I just think it's exciting to hear them do it and hear Bruce do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get a Facebook message pop up from Bruce Kulick. It's just popped
just
up.
Now? Yeah. Oh my God.
Not me personally. It was just his post.
He's listening.
It's funny.
Something I did also have a conversation with both Brent and Zach, I believe. I don't think I talked to Todd about it. I wish I would have thought to ask Bruce, but again, he was in a rush. I really want those guys, Alan and Bill, I really want those guys to do a proper studio version of Sword and Stone. They've done tracks for that song. Every time they play that live, I go absolutely just nuts. Yeah. I have Paul's demo of it. It is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a good, clean studio track of Sword and Stone.
And I try to videotape it when I'm on the cruises, and you know you're just getting a lot of background noise and people singing along. And I'm like, I'm trying to make a good bootleg here, people. For Eric. Yeah, but he's singing along with it.
Yeah, I love that song. It just, that song makes me melt. That sounds so wussified, but it just, man, there's something about that song.
It's because you can't have it.
I love it. It's an unobtainable song. I must have it. So,
maybe but that's someday. Where you go, right? I mean, you go, the intent, the reason you go to those is because you don't get to hear that any other time. I mean, you're not going to hear it.
That's
but to
exactly
your point,
right.
You know, those guys could do a 20, I really believe that. They could do a couple of festivals in the summer. They could do that M3 festival. They could do this. Now they're doing a thing in Pigeon Forge.
Monsters on the Mountain.
Yeah, Monsters
on the
Mountain.
Yeah, we were there last year. It was in Gatlinburg.
August.
Yeah,
Gatlinburg.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was just this year. Yeah, that was a really good
event. Yeah, actually.
We actually know April Lee. We met her at Creatures Fest. And I think she was checking out some of the bands.
I'm not sure if they know who that is, though.
April Lee is the person who organizes the Monsters on the Mountain event.
She works with the promoter pretty closely.
She works really closely with the promoter for Monsters of Rock Cruise. And she's pretty much in charge of all of the talent and everything. So we met her there, and just really awesome person.
Yeah. Now, Todd and Brent, they were there with their band, Took.
Took.
Yeah.
Monsters on the Mountain. So that was really cool. I didn't know what they did, and their shtick, for lack of a better, they play Canadian.
Oh.
All the Canadian. Aldo and Nova.
It's great.
I know. I'm like,
it's
oh my
great.
God, play Aldo yeah. Nova.
Yeah, they have a couple. They have a couple of albums, and they're really, really good.
Yeah, we
and they really, do some really off the wall stuff, some really bizarre pop stuff that's really, really good.
Yeah, they played a couple songs which like, okay, I remember that little bit of lyric there. I know I've heard that song before, you know, I didn't know it by title or who the artist was, but it's like, oh, this is really, so they were a real surprise hit for me, playing at Monsters of the Mountain.
Me too.
So, but yeah, we love, I tell you, with the next cruise, with Kiss no longer playing an indoor show, I hope we see Bruce's band maybe play 3 sets.
Well, Gene keeps saying it's going to be our band. My band will be here. It's Paul's going to be you know, there with his, I guess, soul station.
Hey, I'll go see Gene and his band because those guys kick ass too.
Yes,
like my band will be here.
I'm looking forward to that. We don't know what that's going to be, you know, because if Ace is touring with it with those guys, I don't know how that works.
Well, no I think
I think I heard something that Gene is not going to take the band away from Ace, that he's going to let them, you know, continue to do their thing, which I think is a classy thing for Gene to do.
Sure.
Because yeah, we know those guys.
Yeah.
We do know that those guys have kind of dicked each other over the years.
Yeah. At this point, I think that would just be the classy thing to do. Gene's got enough pull in the music world. He can pull people together. There's so much talent that he knows that have played on that boat. So, you know, who knows what that lineup would be, but I'm sure he'll put together something that will kick ass. And as long as Gene's on the vocals there, I got to see one of his shows in Cleveland in 2017, I guess it was, and he did those handful or so, mm-hmm. Ryan and those guys. And that was a real, real, real treat. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm personally not really an R&B Motown. It is what it is. I mean, we did the Beach Boys cruise in March and the Temptations were there. And that was cool. I appreciated their performance, but I'm not going to listen to that stuff a whole lot. So
I do appreciate, and especially with Paul Stanley singing it. So
you know, I'm sure we'll catch this whole station show.
Still very good, and I think with the Motown songs, he doesn't have to climb and hit so many high notes. So I think his voice right now is pretty much suited to doing that Motown stuff. So yeah. I don't listen to it much, but there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah. So, the question was week one versus week two. So, obviously besides Kiss, and we've waxed poetically on how much we love Bruce's band. God, they could play every night and I'd be thrilled, you know, change the setup just a little bit. It'd be awesome.
But some of the other bands on the ship were amazing.
Yeah, you got to see Lita.
We got to see Lita. You know, people have told me that I look or resemble Lita from time to time, and but I've never met her. I've seen her in person at one of the Kiss conventions or expos that we went to.
Was it the one in Indianapolis?
It was the one in New Jersey. Or where was that? That one
she
in New Jersey.
There, wasn't she?
She was there, but I didn't get to meet her.
The 2018 expo, about a month after she and I met on the cruise, that they were. It was Parsippany, New Jersey.
Yeah. So I met her this time, and man, she's just terrific. She stayed after all the other artists left. The signing time was over.
Lita
stayed there probably up maybe close to 2 hours and signed everything for everybody. She was like, I'm just going to stay here and do this for my fans. And I was like, that's pretty amazing that she did that. And she gave everybody a decent amount of time. I mean, I guess she must just love meeting her fans. So, and she was wonderful.
So she didn't pull an Ace Frehley, is what you're saying?
Not at all. No. She actually had, she had the guys from Bruce's band playing with her on stage too. So it was Todd Kearns and Brent Fitz. Chaz, I guess, was there. And then, So,
and she dresses up as Lita for Halloween on the cruise. So, she did it last year. We made her a mock fake Lita Ford Warlock guitar. So she brought that to Lita, and Lita was just blown away. She picked it up and was pretending to play it. They've got some great photos together. So yeah, Lita was just really humbled that somebody took the time to, you know, to do something like that. So she signed it for her.
I wasn't very cool. Prepared for the people after Lita played. I'm walking over to the elevator holding my guitar, and people came up and said, "Great set." And I was like, are they kidding me? Do they not see that this is a fake guitar I'm holding? But
yeah, Lita's guitar tech's in the bathroom, so she's got to carry her own guitar. So,
but it was fun. I just didn't really know how to react to that, you know. And somebody swore after I told her, I'm not Lita, my name is Julie. She was like, You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And I'm like, what? She goes, I don't believe you. So, okay.
That was fun.
Driver's license right there.
There's a band that we enjoyed who, Bill, I know that, Alan, were you at Rock and Pod last year too? I guess you were.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I've been, we've been to every one of them.
Yeah. So you guys, Steel City was a band that played. Roy Cathy is their lead vocalist. Well, he was on with a band called The Fifth on week one. And we've
had them on the show.
Oh my God. We love that band.
Yeah. Kick ass rock and roll.
From North Carolina.
Yeah. Good old boys, North Carolina. He's a rock star, humble dude. We caught all their shows.
And I think that it went over really well. I think that they were very well received, and I would be totally surprised if Six Man didn't want to have them back on some of their other cruises, because they were very well received, and it was week one, so there were less cruisers on that ship, but man, it seemed like everybody headed out and was happy to hear The Fifth do their sets. Warrant was also on there too. Warrant sounded amazing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands of all time, you know. So
when we were on the Kiss Cruise 9, me and one of the girls that I was hanging out with, Stephanie Lutz, we were hanging out with Robert Mason, and we were all riffing on a Napoleon Dynamite movie quotes for like an hour. It was hilarious. Oh my God,
you're kidding me.
I'm dead ass serious.
I introduced myself to Robert, and he was eating in the regular cafeteria with us, and he was great. Stopped and was chatting with me for a little bit. So yeah, I was just thrilled to meet him and catch a couple of Warrant picks. So yeah, they were awesome. I love Warrant.
Yeah. Good.
He does a really good job with that band for sure.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally.
And then Julie, we're Tyson McCallum both weeks.
He's talking about the dueling pianos with Tyson Leslie and Cal. I thought they were on both weeks.
Tyson was on both weeks.
Okay. Because I know he got up and played keyboards with Bruce's band for a little bit. They might have done. Vixen was on one of the weeks. Which week?
On week one.
I think Vixen was on week one too. So I don't know if they did the dueling pianos thing on both weeks. I can't remember.
But that was we hadn't seen that on the cruise before. That was really, really enjoyable. I think that was going on Monsters of the Mountain or Monsters of Rock Cruise.
Monsters of Rock Cruise.
I don't know if it was Tyson and if it was Cal.
It was Tyson. Too. I don't know who else it was.
But yeah, that was a real treat. And they were a big, big hit.
Oh yeah.
They drew a big crowd for that.
Yeah.
So, and then we enjoyed some late night jam sessions in the artist room. We got booted out one night. We didn't know we weren't allowed to be there if there were artists there, but people would just gather. People would just gather and Tyson would play or Cal was playing piano. We would just be singing.
Songs and,
yeah, we pulled some several all nighters, you guys.
Yeah,
it was a
good yeah. I think that's the purpose of the cruise, right?
It was just so much fun. And actually, the night that the guy came in and booted us out, Tyson and Cal looked like they were a little sad that we had to leave. They were having fun with all of us singing. Surprised. Yeah, they were, you know.
We were a rowdy bunch. We were loud. We were having a good time. I think someone complained to somebody who, you know, had some pool and cleared the space out. So
yeah, here's a concept. Stop being loud and rowdy at a music festival.
Well,
you know, it was 3:30 in the morning at that point.
Along though, it wasn't like we were getting wrapped. Everybody was kind of just sitting around either singing or watching.
Yeah, loud or rowdy. It's not like it was a biker bar scene or anything like that.
It wasn't nothing was getting destroyed. Cal was playing piano or Tyson was playing piano. There were some other guitar players there from various bands. And it was just kind of people picking up, yeah, people doing some percussion stuff.
We'd bounce from Billy Joel to Styx to Queen. We were having a great time.
Like a campfire sing along without the campfire.
So week one, you know, it was nice to meet some, you know, some new people, a bit of a less crowded boat. So there were some opportunities with
you could actually breathe on the boat. But it was, you know, being less crowded and a lot of first time cruisers on there. Some of them were, it was seemed like maybe a little older crowd. So a lot of them didn't stay up late. So the casino wasn't nearly as full.
Yeah. The casino was way less crowded it was almost too crowded for week two, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
We were in the pit for the first time week one, on Gene's side. That was fantastic.
Oh my God. That's just surreal.
The closest closest I've been to seeing Gene perform in full regalia like that as a kid who was just terrified of the man. I'm looking up just beaming. You know, it was just because we all love the band. We all love every member who's ever been in the band, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's my disclaimer. We're good. I love Gene Simmons. I love Uncle Gene. Every time we've had a chance to meet the guy, he's fantastic. People can say what they want about the guy. When you get a chance to meet him, yes, a lot of times we're paying for that experience, but not always. There's plenty of people who get a picture with Gene and he's happy to do it. But but when you actually pay for a meet and greet experience with Gene Simmons, you get what you pay for.
You do.
He's fantastic every single time.
Well, what's really funny about that is Dennis paid for the vault experience in Nashville back in 2018, and the very next weekend me and Bill went and hung out backstage with Gene up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, because Ryan Cook invited us to be VIPs.
Oh, how awesome.
that was really cool.
And yeah. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure we had a better time.
Probably.
Our wallets had a better time for sure.
Our wallets had a lot better time. Yeah, the conversation absolutely. Was very different. I'm 100% confident.
Yes, it is.
Guaranteed.
Talked about some weird shit with him. but he's a funny guy, it's for sure.
Oh my God, he is. He's great.
Yeah. So we got to wrap here pretty soon, but I wanted to touch base on one more thing before we wrap up. Is Eric coming back?
Yeah, there he just goes. Had to go cough.
I'm dealing with a pretty bad cold here, you guys. So thanks for the patience.
That's okay. So I wanted to wrap up because I think I saw, if I'm not mistaken, a photo that Eric may have posted about. I don't know. Was there an engagement or something like that that occurred on the ship?
A re-engagement.
Oh, a re-engagement. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, as I share.
We met on Kiss Cruise 18 on Halloween night. 2018. Kiss Cruise 8, 2018, Halloween night. So we got engaged on Kiss Cruise 19 on the same day at the same spot on the same sort of the same cruise ship. And so every year since it's our anniversary, and we haven't gotten married yet, we just haven't found a time or found the opportunity to plan or whatever. But Eric and I wanted to go, and he decided he wanted to recreate the moment where he proposed to me.
Yeah, that's all that was. It was just going back to that. Yeah, so we were both in our Paul Destroyer costumes, I think. And so that was just me getting unbended knee and just kind of just recommitting and all that good stuff. Just being caught up in that moment because, you know, how often do you get to go back to that? You know, unless you're from a small town, you're always from there. And that's where we had our first dinner together and blah, 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 blah. But for us to be on a cruise ship, I mean.
We met at a bar on the pool deck.
You know, you can't recreate that all the time. So when you can do it, you want to do it.
The million-dollar question is when you were in your Paul Stanley costume and you got down on your knee, did you propose in the Paul Stanley voice?
I probably not. I probably could have because I do have decent talking Paul.
He talked like Paul.
You know, Julie, it's been a wonderful 4 years since we've been together. And so I just want to recommit myself to you. And so... Julie, would you marry me?
Oh. That's hilarious.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to ask you.
So now we have a re-engagement.
We're getting all these congratulations, and that was great. And
you had to read the post though, because I said it was a re-engagement, but you know, it was a special night for us. You know, it was a special, you know, and it's always special every year on the cruise when, you know, now the next cruise though, we hear, will be in January. So we can have our anniversary elsewhere or possibly get married or whatever. I don't know. But
my job that I do now, I deliver home heating oil. Winter is our busy season. So I hope I will be approved to get away. At this point, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to just assume I'll be able to. So we'll see. We got a little time to figure that stuff out. But anyway, you guys, really quickly, week two.
And we got neat toys.
Week two, much more crowded, much more energy. Right away, I could feel that. So, Oh, quick story.
Oh, these were heavy to bring home. And they were problematic because there's more than 4 ounces in here. So everybody had to put this on in a checked bag. So, and we got 4 of them. We each got one on Kiss Cruise.
Same gifts both weeks, guys.
Yeah. So we had 4 of these, and they're heavy. I mean, they're heavy. So we weren't expecting this extra weight in our suitcases, but they're cute. This, on the other hand, yeah, I don't know what to say about this. All I can say is Tracy Guns wore it best. I'm not putting it on, but it's a sailor hat. Which I'm not gonna wear it either.
Yeah, we got in the cabin.
It's too big for me.
They look like a stack of underwear laying them. There were four of them the first week laying on the bed. I thought, are those underwear?
It was like, why don't we get any Kiss underwear? And I'm like, no, it's a sailor hat. So I had to show them how to operate the sailor hat. Yeah.
Okay. Gene Simmons, you know, Moneybag Vodka was on the boat.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They had it on the boat.
They did.
They were promoting it. The distillers were there.
They weren't selling on the boat, were they? They were just promoting it.
They were not selling it.
Free samples and all that.
But they had a lot of bottles that were signed.
Yeah.
And I wanted one badly.
So, guys, we're leaving the indoor show.
No, it was the rock star thing. Oh, it was Are You Smarter Than a Rock God?
A Gene Simmons Smarter Than a Rock God kind of thing. We're walking through the casino from the Stardust. And there's a little girl. I'm getting ready to get in my pocket and give her one of our picks that Julie and I had made. We were giving out picks to some people. And every time we saw kids, we wanted to do that. Before I could reach in my pocket and give her a pick, the gentleman walking with her was her father, who represents
the distillery.
He's carrying a box. He reaches into the box and puts this in my hand.
And I was like,
and we were stunned.
I was like, oh my God, give that thing to me before you drop it.
He wasn't trusting me to hold this thing, but
I got that thing home and the signature is still on there. And there's a teensy little bit of vodka still in it that was distilled 10 times through pure 24 karat gold or whatever, you know, pure gold. So no hangover. No headache from it whatsoever. So I can't wait till it hits the market. We won't be able
to. A guy that doesn't
drink,
he sure is pimping that stuff.
I mean, he's got the best of the best. And if you tell about your story. Okay.
True story, guys. Okay. I know you're trying to wrap up and there's so much more we could talk about, but we bought a Gene Bass. We bought a Black Punisher. And his people, Christina and everybody, they put together an air band. Dog and Pony Show to entertain Gene, basically.
Gene's and his bass players got talent something like that.
So there's over the 2 weeks, you know, you got put in a band with some other people and the instruments were on stage. It was all air. And we thought it was going to be lip singing. So Julie was going to lip sync and found out when we checked in with Patrick that it's a live mic, live vocals. So she's like, no, you're singing. And we picked to do Deuce. So I was hoarse as hell. Much like right now, maybe slightly better now. But so we went ahead and we performed for Gene. I didn't want to do this thing at all. Even when it was lip singing, I thought I just didn't want to do a dog and pony show for Gene. We bought the bass, we met Gene. I'm good. I don't want to do all that stuff. But she talked me into it.
This is my first Gene bass. I want to experience everything, and I don't want to sit there and be a bystander while all these people are up on stage having fun.
So we rocked it. He was Simon Cowell in the Spinnaker, sitting 10 feet from the stage, watching us the whole time, each band, critiquing afterward. It was a great experience. So
he was amazing to us. He said nothing but good things to people, you know.
Totally.
Mostly. Yeah. Mostly.
So anyway, I'm drinking a Tito's club soda with lime. Gene wants to take a sip. He's on stage with me.
He wanted to do a joke. He's like, give me a sip of whatever you're drinking.
Yeah. So I give Gene my cup. He takes a sip and spits it out. He's like, what is that? I wish I thought to say.
That was your vodka. Your
money bag vodka.
Yeah, money bag. That would have been great.
I was at the afterward. That would have been funny. That would have been a good laugh in front of all those people in Spinnaker.
That would have been. That
he might have made you walk the plank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I thought to say it. I would, to see his reaction when I said, it's your vodka, G.
Yeah, that reaction would have been priceless.
I wish I thought. I'm not one of those people who's that quick that way.
I understand.
Like, that would have been
minutes later.
But I feel your pain, man, because Gene busted my balls on stage at Fort Wayne, and I just froze. I was like, damn, I could have done a fucking, oh, yeah.
Did you have shorts on?
Totally missed it.
The other thing he hates is shorts on men. Every guy on the cruise, he doesn't care if it's 100 degrees outside. He does not like shorts on men.
I never wear shorts unless I'm at the beach. So I'm in lockstep with Gene.
He went to school with Gene that men shouldn't wear shorts.
I don't like men's shoes that still Velcro.
It's still better than that Velcro. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, those big white floppy shoes he's wearing. Yeah.
They're horrible. Yeah,
those are they're borderline clown shoes.
I thought he gave them away on the last cruise, but then he was wearing another pair for this cruise, so I guess he didn't give them away. So, or he has lots of them.
Yeah, he probably has a pair too.
He did give his watch away.
Disclaimer, we love you, Gene, if he's listening to this. The shoes are bad, Gene, but we do love you. It's like, yeah, get some black ones. He's got me some black ones. The man's got the money. Custom order some black ones.
Yeah. Everybody loves Uncle Gene. You got to love Uncle Gene.
Yeah. The leather pants with the big white floppy shoes. It's like, come on, man. You're a rock star, Gene.
He had boots on, though, for the Rock God show. He had some boots on that looked pretty amazing.
Was he wearing boots for our thing?
I don't remember. There's a video out. There's a video that they took of our performance on the Kiss on the cruise for Gene, and yeah, it's pretty comical. But it was a fun time.
I'm glad she convinced me to do it, because once I was nervous as hell, singing.
But once he had four shots of Jack Daniels before he went on stage, he was fine.
it helps every time.
A bartender buddy of mine suggested I drink some Jack before a performance. So
help his throat.
We loved it. And again, Gene was great. Paul was great. Like I said, earlier, Julie bought the painting and got to meet him week two. I think that was the last day of the cruise.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He was injured the night before at the show. He kind of turned funny, and so he was going to cancel the art meet and greets, and he decided he was going to do it, but he was going to limit it. His guy Danny was in the room with him, which I had never seen for an art thing before, but yeah. Danny was in the corner and
they were kind of moving through, but it was a thrill no matter what, quick as it was, but it was still great.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Thanks for having us, thanks for inviting us, letting us ramble on.
Definitely cool to hear the differences between the Florida cruises and the California cruises.
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
Miami. Oh, it was a grind, you guys. I mean, Julie's recovered better than I have. I have struggled all week with, energy and a little bit of congestion. So I'm going to stay home tomorrow.
I wasn't able to get as much rest. I was able to sleep in since I don't have to get up and go to work. So. I had the advantage there.
But we lived like rock stars for 2 weeks out of that little cabin with three and then four people, very tight. Didn't unpack our suitcases.
I did.
All right, y'all hang tight while I take us out of here.
Yeah.
People, visit agentsofrock.com. Check out our social media links and our past episodes. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.